The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wynn. How are you, buddy?
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Which one?
Both.
Oh.
I said bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, that's pretty good. Liam, good morning, buddy. How you doing in there, our producer?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. Third cup of coffee, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we're ready to roll. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter, and we are also here with Shelley Mack. How you doing, Shelley?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, at 1460 AM. Mm-hmm. Streaming live worldwide, KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. A lot going on in Reading. A lot going on in Shasta County.
Yes, sir.
Peel back the onion, baby. What do you think there, Wynn? Do we have an onion to peel back?
A little bit. We had some onions cooked last night.
Tell us about the event last night.
We had a fundraiser last night for Kevin Cry to fight the lies that are going on about him and what he's been doing as far as the short time that he's been on the Board of Supervisors. So we had a lot of good patriots out there, people that have never been to any of the fundraisers that have been held here locally, and they were blown away by what was going on, and in a positive way. They were very good about what they were saying and what they witnessed and what they got to participate in, and they support Kevin. And a lot of these people, are first-timers that have never been around any of the events that we've ever held or have not been working on anything committee-wise in the county. Mm-hmm. And they were very appreciative of all the efforts put into it, and they support him. And
how'd you do?
We did pretty well.
Good. Yeah.
So we'll see how that all translates out to keeping the garbage at bay that keeps getting thrown every single day.
Yeah, I think there's, I'm going to try to blame the deer that are eating our roses on Kevin. Because it just isn't, it wouldn't be fair to blame a deer.
Yeah.
Probably is his fault.
Oh, I'm sure.
Everything else is.
Yeah.
But, I think the thing that's really been bad about this is the lies. The lying about the money, what money's been spent. We should spend some money, and maybe, we could probably leap into this a little bit, maybe we should spend that $10,000 to find out the truth.
Well,
behind the Zog Fire Gate.
Oh, absolutely. That's when a forensic audit comes into play. You find out all those kind of things, and that's exactly what needs to happen. And if we don't start doing those things and hold those people accountable that are doing wrong, then we're always going to have this. So we need to start straightening that out.
How would we forensic audit the Children Legacy Center?
Well, we wouldn't do them. It's the DA's department on.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. You've got to rip that Band-Aid off, and you got to start looking at everything. And sometimes it's going to be a little painful, but guess what? It's necessary.
Now, on the show previously, they talked about the Children's Legacy Center, and there's some good things that they do. So it isn't a matter of whether or not it's a good organization. It's a little odd that a charity, after all of that, and the folks that were burned out on their properties, the Grange that was burned down, built in 1932, was that it?
I believe so.
Yeah, you have all these different things that have happened to these poor folks, and at this time, we look at a situation where we're saying now, the real problem is that we need to start encouraging these different charities that have nothing at all to do with the Zog Fire. And again, it's We could have given it to St. Jude's, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you stop and think about this. The other thing that kind of bothers me is, did these people who wanted that money to go there, that was this something they were familiar with? Were they really familiar with this charity? Was it something to where, you know, you have all this money, and rather than saying, hey, I'd like to see it go over to the school, I'd like to see it go here, I'd like to see it go there, how about the volunteer fire department? How about all these different things? Instead of that, it's like it's going to go to the Children's Legacy Center. I mean, did they even know about it? So I kind of question that. And I know they want to spend $10,000, meaning the Board of Supervisors, on this. And I think it's kind of money well spent. I mean, if we find out there's something nefarious going on for 10 grand, that's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
I mean, I would hope that this is something that the whole county can get behind and actually bring some union to our supervisors' meetings, because
absolutely,
I don't feel that we're doing any harm by, you know, wanting to look into this. I mean, I would like to see some unity, because we have way too much division going on, and I'm just not quite sure what people are so upset about looking into this.
They're afraid. They're fearful, because they know that something's going to get exposed. And we may not know what that exposure is going to be, but they probably do.
Well, here's my question. It's okay to give Kathy Darling Allen a $49,000 a year
increase in her salary,
but it's not okay to find out of something nefarious. And there certainly is a lot of questions on what happened. I mean, you know, when you have the, I forget the number, the gray pine. And here's another question I have. Why didn't PG&E cut down that tree?
That's the $1 million question.
You know, I mean, why didn't they?
That's the elephant in the room.
That's the $50 million
question.
Got
to put the right price tag on it. That's right.
You know, and so, you know, the answer to that is to write to the Attorney General, asking him to look into this. I mean, or he, it's a he, I guess, now. And so the thing is, when you have that situation, you've got the Attorney General, who's what? He's a card-carrying Democrat, but he's a liberal Democrat. He's going to do the bidding of Newsom. He's going to do and gee whiz, you know, Stephanie Bridget was beside herself. She was ecstatic that they'd write a letter to him. Right now, he's tied up with the Chino Unified School District, and he's trying to screw them over with a lot of money. They're saying no. You know, that's the latest that they're saying no. We're going to do what we said we were going to do. So if you want to find us, find us. But he's working on that now. He's putting pressure on them, meaning the Attorney General. So, I mean, really and truly, we do need to have outside counsel look at this. And Shelley's right. I mean, we have to do something to pull this community together. I mean, folks are folks.
Well, and everybody seems to ignore the rules, the jurisdiction. Whose jurisdiction does this all fall under? The Board of Supervisors. It's within the Shasta County jurisdiction, and they hold the purse strings, truly, for all the other departments. They're the ones, they're the executive and legislative branch of the county. Of the county, and that goes for every department under that. So people have to remember that. You know, it comes down to them at the final decision on what should be happening. And yeah, is somebody authorized to go through and say, yeah, they want to give money to X, Y, and Z? Okay, you do that, but you also use common sense, and you have to do it appropriately, and you want to be above reproach. And this is not above reproach.
Well, you'd think, you know, with that $7 million, you would think that Stephanie Bridget might be on that board or something.
Yeah.
Oh, she is? No.
Nah.
You think, I mean.
Problem solved. $7 million.
Well, who's the secretary on that board?
Oh, I don't know. Who? Who do you think?
I'm asking.
I don't know.
I mean. Why would that money go there?
Do you have a name? Is it the chief of police or is it the sheriff?
No, I think it's Stephanie Bridget.
Oh, she's the secretary. Oh,
I think
okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at this and you're kind of going, okay, and it's like, you know, the sheriff's on that board, though. I mean, so is the police chief, ex-police chief, almost. Mm-hmm. Almost ex.
Oh, has he been there 5 years yet?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Because that seems to be the rotation.
Yeah, I don't remember.
4 or 5 years, boom, somebody else is out retired.
We had Hanson for a little while. He came back from Washington, and what was he making, like $70,000 a week or something? Some insane amount.
Some crazy.
They had him for temporarily. Why not just have the, you know.
Why not have a vacancy?
Or the captain, you know. Yeah. I mean, captain there, you know. I don't know. Anyway, you know, when we look at all this, you really want to know where the money went. And does anybody have where the money all went? As far as where it was distributed and how?
That's why I said forensic audit.
Okay.
I have that.
Do you, Shelley?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
It's quite long, so I'm just kind of going to summarize. 15.5 million went to the Shasta County Fire Department for additional personnel, equipment, infrastructure. 3.5 million went to the Anderson Fire Protection District for additional personnel. 3.5 million went to the Reading Fire Department for same uses as Anderson. 85,000 went to Shasta County's 17 volunteer fire departments, and they each got 5,000. 550,000 went to Shasta County's 11 fire districts at 50,000 each. 1.5 million went to Shasta County Arson Task Force to purchase rental equipment for arson investigator training. 1.1 million went to Shasta County Sheriff's Office for purchase of a mobile command center. 600,000 went to Shasta County Sheriff's Office for purchase of a troll system and a data link unit. 500,000 went to Shasta County Sheriff's Office for large animal rescue and transport trailer location for sheltering such animals. In an emergency, 1.5 went for a total of 500,000 each to Shasta County's Sheriff's Office, Reading Police, and Anderson Police for an arson investigation. Mm-hmm. You want me to go through this whole list?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I will. So, 2 million went to a Shield Regional Training Center for the purchase of construction or rental training facility for law enforcement throughout Shasta County. 7 million to the Children's Legacy Fund to establish the Phelous Fund. 2.4 went to Shasta College for the purchase of land on which to expand its fire academy and construction of water tanks and utility training. 1 million went to Whiskey Town Environmental Camp. 500,000 went to the Shasta County Fire Safe Council for wildfire mitigation and prevention. 280,000 went to the Jeremy Stokes Foundation for a scholarship to attend fire academy at Shasta College. 200,000 went to the Igo Ono Elementary School for playground equipment and in memory of Fela. 85,000 went to Shasta County Youth Fire Setter Prevention and Intervention Program to reduce youth arson activities. $2.5 million went to Haven Humane to purchase property and buildings. And $200,000 to Haven Humane for spay and neuter programs. $500,000 to Bella Vista Farms. And I believe that's what I have.
Wow.
So.
Well, when you list all that, and then you have the Children's Legacy Center. Now, some of those things really tie in, and Haven Humane did a lot for all the fires. They really did. I mean, they housed a lot of these animals. They saved a lot of these animals. It's a little bit of a question on the neutering situation. I mean, it's a little bit of a question for me on that, but it still makes more sense than the Children's Legacy Center. And again, it isn't that that's a bad thing. It's just that everything ties into the catastrophe we had, and and that doesn't really tie into it. I mean, I think that the school should have gotten more. I think that the volunteer fire department should have gotten more. I think that in hearing a lot of the people at the Board of Supervisors who were harmed by this fire and lost, I think it should have went to them. I know there's individual lawsuits, like a gob of them. But it all goes back to how in the world this was divvied up in a way that made sense on the tragedy that happened. How does it, in the total looking at all of this, how does it tie in, especially the Legacy Center? And part of the things with Haven Humane, maybe you guys have an answer for that. I'm trying to figure out how that would really tie in. I get fire, and I even get the thing for the college because it's helping kids that are going to become firemen. So I like that. Okay.
The way that I understood it was that, listening to Ms. Bridget, was that she did talk to the victims' families and kind of their passions and stuff. And so pertaining to the Haven Humane, I can't remember the elderly lady that passed. She was big into spay and neuter. That was one of her passions, and she worked on that. And so I believe her family, you know, wanted something. And I can see, you know, if during fires and stuff like that, animals need a place to go, you know, because animals get displaced. We're trying to find animals. So, I mean, I can see, you know, a portion going for that. from what I've heard, Bella Vista Farms didn't take in any of the animals. And they used to be in Bella Vista, and they're out that way now, so I'm not quite sure about that one. But,
yeah.
I mean, I think the Grange would have been a good thing for the community to have, you know, some money go for.
Especially after that.
Yeah.
So Bella Vista Farms isn't in Bella Vista?
Not no more. She used to be.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think she's been out that direction for quite a few years now.
Oh, okay. So I just wrongfully assumed that they were in Bella Vista, and I was trying to connect those dots. I was like, well, what's...
Right, I could see the name would be confusing, but no, her and her husband have since moved out that direction. I'm not exactly sure what town they're in, but they're out.
Okay, I have a question too, but the environmental camp, a school, you know, $1 million, that's just a drop in the bucket compared to the structures and the improvements that they're going to have to make, especially the infrastructure now, given what, you know, all that happened out there. That's a drop in the bucket. How are they going to be able to afford, even with $1 million, to replace what was wiped out? So why didn't they get allocated more? Because that affects a lot of children in our area and even from other areas that come to that place to go through the process. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just kind of questioned that one. That one just kind of hung out there. Just kind of, for me, it just kind of lingered a little bit.
Well, I think the Grange had to have been brought up. It just had to have been because that's where people met out there.
Right.
And it was sort of like, as you were saying, Shelley, and you're right, bringing community together. I mean, mm-hmm. what better than to have a place that you're building that the whole community can be involved in, no matter what your political persuasion is or what you think. Mm-hmm. This is a place you all can meet and a place where people can go and, you know, and help with different programs in their own community, in their own area, in their own neighborhood. So to me, I mean, that's a great point.
Well,
I think
and it was a historic building from the 30s.
Yeah.
Know, let's have a place where people can go and lick their wounds and, you know, get
exactly
together,
right.
you know, and heal. I mean, because that's, I'm not totally familiar with that area, but I think that was kind of the hub, you know, was the Grange for those folks.
Oh, definitely. So. I mean, by the testimony we heard in the public comment, definitely. You know, again, you go back to this thing where, you know, why didn't they cut down the trees? Why didn't PG&E do that? Now, somebody said the judge didn't mention that and he had it in front of him. The judge can't go to either the defense or the plaintiff and say, hey, you guys overlooked this. He can't do that.
That's the job of the attorneys.
That's the job of the attorneys. And the guy who went to prosecute this criminal, this criminal act, he's now a Superior Court judge who just somehow forgot again, evidence and, information that would have helped his cause. Mm-hmm. Now, was that by design? I mean, do you want to talk about Brady violations?
Again?
Now, Brady violation isn't about the Brady Act. A Brady violation is when someone who is, whether it be the defense or whether it be the attorney for the plaintiff, it's when you withhold evidence that could change the outcome of the case, and you withheld that evidence either on the DA side or the defense side. And in this particular case, those Brady violations were on the DA side, and gee whiz, who was one of those guys?
Hannah.
Gee whiz. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing about Hannah. You know, there's two sides to Superior Court, right? You've got civil and you've got criminal. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't do criminal,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that criminal thing because his wife works for the DA's office, so now you have a conflict of interest. So he can't do it. However, he can do civil. And gee whiz, the civil side of that, let me think a minute. Where would that go with the Dominion machine? Would that go to criminal or civil with the Board of
Supervisors? It should go to criminal.
Well, on their side, yeah. But, you know, I mean, to me, you know, when you look at all this stuff, and we have, what, 17 new Superior Court judges. We've got 14 are Democrats and 3 are... say they're declined to state. And, you know, party affiliation is one thing, but going along with what Newsom is doing is another.
Mm-hmm.
And if Newsom selects you, that means what? You're doing his bidding for him.
You're in his camp.
Now, here's another thing, too, I want to bring up briefly about the machine. And that is that I was on a call last week, and there was it was actually 325 people on that Zoom call. And it was very good. And we were talking, and Jovan Pulitzer was on that call, and he said the machines are not going to cure cheating. Well, he's right. But why is it that Gavin Newsom, since we pulled the machine, we've gotten rid of the machines here, and Kathy Darling Allen are so adamant about keeping them, number one, and number two, it's like we took Newsom's prized bull and we castrated him. You know, I mean, look at this. I mean, why are these guys having all these conniptions if it doesn't matter, right? If it does, if it has no impact on them, I mean, it's no sweat off of us because we've already done it. It's a done deal for us. So they aren't forcing us down a rabbit hole. They aren't sending us down a different trail to keep us occupied. So I think it does have an impact. I think that getting rid of the machine does have an impact. And I think that that's something that you know.
A positive impact.
Well, on our side.
I think all the way around, because it's going to clean it up for everybody.
Then well, what I'm saying is why is he so adamant about keeping the machine if it doesn't affect anything?
Right, manipulation. That, you know exactly. That behind the scenes.
Well, exactly.
They've got it all under control.
Exactly.
And we put a fly in their soup, and guess what? They don't like that fly. And that fly isn't going anywhere. It just keeps bouncing around in their bowl of soup.
That isn't all we're going to do in their soup.
Well, what do flies do?
I know.
Yeah.
This would be more fun on our podcast. We could use colorful metaphors. So, you know, I think what we have to do is understand we have corruption in a lot of different places here in the county and a lot of different places in the state. What do you guys think about Newsom running for president?
Go for it. It's a guaranteed win for anybody else than him.
I'm not happy about it, but, you know, I try and make sure that I tell my friends that live outside of California, you know, like, no. You know, I mean, well, look at California.
Yeah.
You know, it's
exactly.
Just, like, what's going on here? It's just continually getting worse. And what happened to San Francisco, he was in charge there, and then he just bled it right over into the rest of the state.
Yeah, Tony Bennett left his poop in San Francisco, I think. Was, that's a lot of what people are doing there, unfortunately. Mm. I mean, it's such a – when I was growing up, I was talking to a friend in the Bay Area and we were talking about when we grew up, and San Francisco was beautiful. I mean, we would go there. It was so much fun to go there.
Because you grew up south of San Francisco,
south
right?
San Francisco, yeah. In Menlo Park, Palo Alto, that area. And so, you know, we'd boogie on up to San Francisco, and we'd have a blast up there and mess around and, you know, as teenagers do and young college students do and everything. But it was a lot of fun. And in going there, it was such a beautiful, pristine city. I mean, it was gorgeous. And I went back there about 2 years ago, and I couldn't believe the difference. I mean, it's shocking, totally shocking. And if we're going to allow that to happen in our society, in this state, shame on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what party you belong to, shame on us.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so, again, we keep looking at all these different things that the government's doing, and it's because we let them. I mean, and the legislative body, you're not going to change a legislative body that has 63 Democrats in the assembly and 17 Republicans, and four of those Republicans usually vote with the Democrats. And out of 40 senators, we have 32 that are Democrats, and 8 that are Republicans. Now, you know, I'm not saying that every Democrat is bad. I'm just saying that a lot of times they stick together on stuff. And probably sometimes they hold their nose, some of them, in sticking together on these things. But when you have a situation where you've got laws that are being passed that harm our children, laws that are being passed that harm our communities, and laws that are being passed that allow crime to run rampant, I mean, isn't there a time when somebody has to put their foot down?
They're complicit. Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, and even here, you know, you look at the communities we have here, you know, it's... As bad as Redding is, it's Shangri-La compared to Oakland or San Francisco. And we have such a homeless problem here. And, you know, after the break, I want to talk a little bit more about the voting situation, the machines. But I also want to get from you guys, from the two of you, what you think that some of the things locally that really are the thing that we have to really attack. Because I think if we start nailing down these things to one or two things, and we all put our effort to it, I think that's going to be something that's going to be impactful, just like we did when we got rid of Modi.
There you go.
Anyway, I think we'll go off to our break, our one and only break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Seems like yesterday. Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Authority Property Management, committed to providing service-oriented solutions to owners and landlords, offering full-time management services which covers everything from screening tenants to rent collection to final walkthrough inspections when tenants move out. Authority Property Management oversees single-family homes, apartments, condominiums, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial properties. Rental pricing, available properties, and a quick and easy to fill out application can be found online at authoritypm.com.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the town he shined in light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Sally Lou.
Speaking of a puppet on a string, we should go to our caller.
he just got there.
He's a puppet.
I was
on
thanking the... Sally Lou for the music.
I know that was a great song. I mean, she's on target.
Oh,
as usual.
Oh, she was on target with Stones.
Yeah, yeah. Puppet on a string. Hey, Stones, what are you up to?
Hey, Stones. What happened?
Puppet on a string. Is that a compliment or an insult?
Oh, from Wynn? It's probably an insult. If it was from me, it'd be a compliment.
It's sarcasm.
Or Shelley, we'd compliment.
It's sarcasm. You guys both missed it. It's
yeah.
Sarcasm.
Wynn likes to insult everybody. People don't like Wynn very much.
No, people don't like me. I don't care.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, you know, great. Quick announcement. I was at the fundraiser last night, talked to one of our supervisors, who likes the idea of separating the county ballot to a separate ballot. So if everybody could please watch the two-part podcast that I did, mountaintopmedia.com or rumble.com, search for Shasta County Citizen Journalist, or podbean.com, Shasta County Citizen Journalist. The time is closing quickly, but we can make this happen. So if everybody likes the idea, after watching the podcast or listening to the audio cast, we have to get in contact with our board of supervisors quickly. We only have a few short weeks to make this happen for the March primary. So please, everybody, let's put some political pressure on the board to do the right thing in order to save our countywide elections.
Agreed.
Hey, Richard, I watched, is the second part of that up? I'm kind of chewing through the first part. I haven't quite finished it all yet because I'm taking a lot of notes. Is the second part up yet?
Well, it's up on Mountaintop Media Facebook, but I cannot find it on mountaintopmedia.com.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's already been uploaded, so yeah, I'm not sure why it's not showing up on the website quite yet, but it is available at the other locations I listed.
Right, okay.
If it's done by mounttopmedia.com, it should be on there first, and then it should be released every other platform.
Yeah. Well, the way it works, you know who they're talking about, right?
Okay. So I'm very positive that that supervisor approached me last night and asked me some questions to clarify separating the ballots. That means we're progressing in the proper direction and not progressing like the socialists like to progress.
Well, I really appreciate what you did on the video, and like I said, I'm taking some notes and going through there. It's one of those things, folks, when you watch the information that Richard has. You know, it's good to watch it a couple of times. I pause it and take notes off it, things like that. So, Richard, thank you for doing all that for us. It really is good, and you're helping with a lot of the explanation of people for people who aren't familiar with even how the voting system in California works. So,
yeah,
and I mean the system.
Thanks, Rich.
I'll get off so Shelly can talk a little bit. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you, Rich.
We don't want that.
Yeah. Nobody's going to put you on the spot, you know. So anyway.
Not on accident, anyway.
No, right. Anyway, so, okay, you guys. We talked about it before the break. Shelley, what do you think? What's something you think we should attack first as a county and as a group of people? One of the priorities for you?
The jail.
Very good.
Definitely the jail. You know, last week or the week before, it was 2 weeks ago, coming on 2 weeks ago, the tattoo face guy. Sorry to refer to him that, but I don't remember his name. You know, APD driving over there to the coast to pick him up and then bringing him back, and he's in for an hour and gets released. And I've heard some different things on that. One was that APD didn't ask to keep him. They didn't let the jail know that they wanted him to stay. And I thought that was kind of a weird response. So that's another thing. Again, what I really would like to see is I want our county to come together. We have just too much division. You know, and I'm a conservative, but I'm not liking the division that's going on. And I think that we should be focusing on things that will bring our community together and things that the whole community can get behind. And to me, the jail is a huge one.
Well, let me ask you.
And that's for our safety.
Yeah, and that's homeless. I think it's great. I think it's a great point. And to add to that, I want to run this by you. I mean, the sheriff closed the floor of the jail without even notifying the Board of Supervisors. He just closed it. And it seems to me, and I agree with you, how come, what's taken so long to get that thing open? It used to be that when we had sheriff deputies who were new, they would go to the jail and work the jail a couple of days a week as they were learning their job, new sheriff deputies that we had hired. So, any thoughts on why this is taking so long to just open a floor, and why Johnson isn't doing that method?
No, I don't. You guys might be able to help me out with this, but it was quite some time ago. I mean, months. Chris brought up something, had kind of a plan, and I don't remember exactly what it was. Sorry. But I thought it was a good plan. I think he was gonna, you know, we were gonna. Do you guys remember?
Yes.
I'm failing right now.
No, you did good.
But it was good. Chris's plan was good.
Yeah.
And I don't know whatever surmised of that. So.
He was taking it instead of having the people who were jailers that were working in there, answering the phone and doing all this stuff and doing all the paperwork and all that stuff, trying to multitask stuff when that isn't really what they're supposed to be doing. You can have some, special operators or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
That actually do those tasks. And they used to have like five, and then they got down to one. And then, you know, they doubled it to two. But if they had five people in there, not only would they save money, but it would make the jailer's job and the people that are working on the floor of the jail, it would make them, give them more continuity in what they had to do. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have them, you know, where they have to wear this hat and this hat and this hat and this hat. They could concentrate on one thing, and that would take a lot of stress off their job. you know.
Well, it's almost like they're working out of class. Cause if
but it was the union from what I heard. That
right, and that's why I said working out of class, because it's like there you have specific positions that need to be filled in that facility, and you're having one person, for an example, one person doing their job, but then also working out of class and doing another job while they're trying to satisfy doing their job. So they're working two different jobs simultaneously when they're not set up to do that. They most likely weren't trained to do that, and that's not what they were hired to do. And then they're trying to deal with these guys that they're locked and gals that are locked up, trying to get through the day dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're adding burden of stress for the job on mm-hmm. top of the actual job stress that they deal with in dealing with the incarcerated. So let's rethink this. And it sounds like they just need to go back to the basic planning of how to run that jail and start over and look at it and just see where they really need to go. Maybe they've done that. I don't know. But I'm saying they just need to figure that out to see the best and most efficient way of doing it and operate that way. And it doesn't sound like they're doing that. And they don't have enough of the proper staffing to do that. But you're right. If they went from 5 down to 1 and then yeah. doubled it back up to 2, they're still 1.5 down.
And it's cheap.
1.5 down times down.
Yeah.
It's like something's backwards. And that's just in one part of it. So you really have to look at what's really going on. So Is there a lot of head scratching that has to go on to do this? I don't know. How did it operate before? How was it going when it was fully functional and operational? Has it ever been? I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Has it been? If it has, go back to that plan. Whatever it was, go back to that plan, revisit it, look at it, and see how you can make it work.
Well, the guys started in the jail. You know, when they became a deputy, they'd start in the jail. They'd do a couple of days a week there. They changed that probably because of union pressure.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then, you know, having the people who are going to answer the phones, do the paperwork, blah, 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 those kinds of things, you can have 5 full-time people doing that, and it would be a lot less than paying someone who is a jailer. You could actually increase their pay. You could save money by having a situation where their hours aren't crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of it, too. I know that when people work in prisons, for example, they always suggest that you live a ways away from where you work if you're a prison guard because of the stress and everything else. And a lot of times that reflects on your family. And so
well, and the other thing, too, is that if they're going to be working these employees of the jail so hard and having them do all this overtime, because when you figure out the overtime, they could be getting time and a half or double time, right? Well, take that value of that time and a half and double time. You could fund another position. If they truly decided to do that, take it back down to where they're working 40 hours a week or whatever their union agreement is and when they got hired on, whatever their time is, if it's 30 hours a week, whatever it might be, I don't know. But have them work their regular full-time shift per week, and then if there is overtime to be had, fill those with new bodies that should come in to fill it. Then you have more of a team. You have more bodies to be there because then when people get sick, people get hurt in the jail from trying to deal with the incarcerated, then they're out. And then now the workload even gets more intense on the remaining staff that's there. So you're going to have those issues. So we have to plan for that, and it just sounds like there was very poor planning on
– Or no planning.
Or no planning on
that
part.
Why isn't he planning this? Why isn't he doing anything?
I mean, to me, it just makes sense to go back and look at and see how it was running, if it ever was operationally – full bore, because that's what we need right now to get all these bad guys off the streets and they're actually doing their time that they need to be doing.
But he's not cooperating. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, I'll just say it for what it is. Johnson's not cooperating. If he was cooperating, we'd have something done. He's not cooperating. It's sort of like this thing about on the last program they talked about when Stephanie Bridget said that she just found out about the meeting. Now, what she said, and I'm going to clarify that, she didn't say she didn't know about what was going on. She said that she had no idea it was going to be on the agenda that day. That's what she said. Okay, and then Johnson saying, I didn't know anything about it. So you're telling me that the tribe buys this property, they're going to build this casino, they're going to build this resort, and you haven't thought about law enforcement over there yet?
Wrong.
I mean, you know, this guy is so disingenuous, you know, and I know I'll probably get stones calling back again. He's got a whole list of things. It's gotten to the point where the people in Shasta County are wanting to have an oversight board to see what the sheriff's doing. I'm not part of that board. I'm not part of that particular movement, but there are a lot of people that are. And when you have something like that, that's questioning somebody we elected to represent us that we are hoping will do the right thing. And the only job of a sheriff, their only job, is for him to make sure that the rights of his constituents and the rights of the sovereign and the people are not trampled on. That's his only job.
Mm-hmm.
That's his job as an elected official. Okay. Most of the law enforcement stuff and that thing is a side product because he has other people doing it. Other people are out there doing it. He's supposed to be at the meeting. Were you at the meeting, Shelley, when the lady stood up in the blue shirt, the Kevin Cry shirt, and said, "I don't want a constitutional sheriff"?
Yes. I was there for that. Oh, my gosh.
I haven't been to meetings in quite some time just because I'm kind of tired of
sure.
how the meetings are going. You know, I feel like the people that are showing up constantly, I'm concerned whether or not at work, for one. But the other thing is they're not letting business get conducted, is I feel like. You know, they're kind of slowing
distracting.
The process down, you know. And
yeah.
the turquoise shirts are there constantly, and they're just – and it's like, do you really think by showing up every single week that, like, is Kevin going to resign? I mean, I don't think you're getting
yeah.
anywhere by doing that except for just stalling work to be done. And that's my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's a
right.
good opinion.
Right.
You know, and also you had mentioned that about the homeless and what an issue it is. I mean, do you have some thoughts on that?
Not that I want to say on the radio.
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
We'll do a podcast. There's more freedom there.
No, that's a tough one. I've thought about it a lot, and I don't really know what the direction is. I do believe I had a lot of drug addicts in my family. My dad was a drug addict, tons of drug addicts in the family. And I truly believe that yeah, there's some mental health issues, but I kind of feel that it's, you know, a lot of them are living on the streets because, and they're, you know, doing drugs and stuff. They're happy that way. And they don't want to conform and join society. They don't want to work. They don't want to follow the rules. You know, they're happy with that. And that's unfortunate. But I think a lot of it is just because they don't want to conform with society and join in with the rest of us. So, no, I have no idea. I mean, I've heard Kevin, you know, talk about some things like privatizing it and stuff, and I think that's an interesting option to explore because we know private businesses run better than businesses that are
government.
Ran by the man.
Yep, yep.
So I think that's something, you know, to explore. But that's a big thing to tackle, and it's going to take a while. And I think the biggest problem is our state, you know, is hindering that as well. So that's another –
Yeah, well,
knew something.
Yeah, it is because he's got the gate wide open. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they get all the services. Yeah, so that's you're right. And we get to pay for it.
I mean, but we've all lived here. I've been here 43 years, and you know, and we've watched this town. I mean, I used to leave my car running, and the you know doors unlocked with air conditioner for my dogs, and hop and run into a store and whatever. And I don't do that so much. I mean, I still do that at Palo Cedro every now and again, but I shouldn't. but that's just the things that I miss about, you know, how our town used to be because it was a neat place.
Yeah, and we don't prosecute crime anymore anyway. So,
right.
you know, I mean, that's a lot of it. But that's a great point. Privatizing it probably is, I mean, why not?
It's worth it to explore.
Absolutely. Worth it.
Why not?
You know, and just one quick thing on the jail. We're having Chris Kelstrom on next week.
Mm-hmm.
So when Chris comes in, we want to talk to him a lot
mm-hmm.
about that and find out if there is movement. And Shelley's right about that. We're looking for some kind of movement toward that jail. You know, there's all these things that we're supposed to be doing, and it's not happening. And I'm not saying that – I don't think that the issue with the Zogfire situation is a waste of time or money. I don't think it is. I think there's just too many anomalies there. There's been too many different things that have happened. We have certain people that do things in this county, have done things in this county, and are continually to do things in this county. One I can think of in particular that's every Board of Supervisor meeting raising his head and his mouth and everything else, but you have people that are doing that, and it's their First Amendment right to do, of course. Point being is there's some activity that's been criminal that just hasn't even been prosecuted, hasn't even been looked at. I mean, it's almost like he's an untouchable for the DA's office, but someone like Carlos Zapata gets politically in a jam, and it was a political jam. I don't care what Stephanie Bridges said. That was political.
Yeah, no, I
agree. And she did that by design. You know, and she is one of Newsom's minions, period, end of sentence, my opinion. And, you know, since I always think I'm right, that's my opinion, you know. I'm not always right. Just ask Sally. She'll tell you that, yeah, it's sort of like.
You can ask me.
Yeah, yeah, I can ask you, too. Yeah. So is there one more thing in the county? We've talked about homelessness. We've talked about the machine. And we've talked about the jail, the machines, the voting situation. Is there anything else in the county you can think of that you'd really like to see brought together, Shelley? I know I'm not supposed to ask you questions, but well, you're not on the spot. It's
I just want to talk. Explore the show today. No, I feel like I'm quite familiar with how you kind of set people up, or not saying you set me up, but you kind of do this because you have something that you want to talk about. So why don't you just go ahead and do it?
I don't. Said,
you don't. You really
no,
don't.
I want to hear what you have to say.
I really. Those to me.
Those three are the good.
That's
what I
want
to do.
I want stuff to bring the community together, and that everybody in that boardroom can be happy, and every constituent that walks out of there after the meeting's done, they can walk away and feel like they had a win. I want everybody to be happy when they walk out of that building.
You know, and you brought up a great point, because what happens in the perfect negotiation between one side or another, that would be with the supervisors or the getting together with the sheriff and getting together with, you know, the jail thing, and then private getting together with the county and stuff on homelessness, and then getting together and making sure that our votes are counted. When you have two parties that go in there, the best negotiation you can ever have is a deal is struck and both of them leave unhappy. Because that means, right, that means that they gave and take to one another. And I think that's kind of where you were going. Yeah. So I think that, you know, I think that...
Well, and the winners always have to, coming out of the Board of Supervisors meeting, has to be the constituency. They always have to win.
Right.
If they're not
right.
winning, something's wrong. If they're not winning, if they're not the ones being wholeheartedly 100% considered about every decision made, then they're losing, and they are we. They are us, all the people that live here in Shasta County. We pay the taxes for it. We should not be on the losing end of this deal on any situation. But more often than not, you know, in the past, we definitely were losing, and depending on who we elect into all these positions, whether it's Board of Supervisors all the way down, are we winning with every one of those? No, we're not. We need to fix that.
Yeah.
And don't forget, those elected officials are our employees. People fail to remember that. They call them our leaders. They are not our leaders. They are representatives. They are our employees. They are employed to do the business of the people for the people of Shasta County. And when they fail, you remove them. Whether through recall, if that's necessary, or if you just need to wait until their term is coming to an end and you vote them out, you do that. And you put the pressure on them. Terry, you said this a million times, and you'll always say it. Put pressure on them. You have to put pressure on them to make sure that they're doing the right things. And that has to happen every single time they get up there to make a decision or open their mouth, whether it's the Board of Supervisors or any other elected official that's holding a spot within the county, all the way with the school boards and everything. I'm not talking just about the county jobs and positions. Everybody that's elected by the public of Shasta County has to be held accountable for their actions. And if you're not happy with it, do something about it.
Yeah, you know, the word public servant.
Right.
The words public servant.
Yes.
You know, and it's kind of like, you know, to me, we haven't had that for a while. You know, and I think
a long while.
That the board here is trying to do that. At least most of the board is. I think that the next election we have is going to help us in certain spots.
Yep.
And I think that's going to be something to where we need to look forward to that. Election season is coming, and we have, five people running for assembly that we know of?
I think so. I think
there's even more than that, because we don't know, because I guess they don't have to declare till, like, September 17th?
No. There's a later time than that. I think it's I want to say November, but I'm not really sure. But state offices are a little different than local county offices as far as the posting of and declaring. So I'm not really sure what the state office time frame is.
I think that
it's probably September-ish.
I think Brenda Haynes said it was September.
Yeah,
because
probably is.
You know, a lot of times you don't see endorsements going out till after that.
Yeah.
So I think that I think as we go on here, I mean, there's some great points here. I think the point of bringing the county together, I mean, bringing the people together. Everybody's not going to get what they want, but we have to have something to where at least there are some things we do agree on, and one of them is the jail, and one of them is that we have a problem with homeless. I mean, those two things need to be looked at, and they need to be really looked at. The challenge we have is that when you see the corruption that we've had that's been proven over the last 3 years in Shasta County, the corruption of public officials that keeps continually raising its head is distracting, but it's also something that's happening. So you can't ignore that. And I think that's why I think looking in, I think $10,000 is a small price to pay. I think that,
and that's for a guaranteed outcome of information on that.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get information on it. The thing is, see, the problem with writing the letter to the attorney general on any findings you have and saying, hey, is he going to prosecute? Okay. Is he going to actually do anything?
Is he going to ignore the letter?
Or is he going to ignore it? And yeah. I think because of everything else that's going on, they'll ignore it. It's like these affidavits people did.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm going to give the affidavit to the sheriff, and the sheriff has to look at the affidavit, and they have to, you know, he has to serve this, he has to do that. Well, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because he might be preoccupied with this or this or this or this or this. I mean, I remember when Chief Poletti for RPD was covering a shift. He was actually covering a patrol shift because they had a lot of guys out. I mean, you don't think about it, but if you break your right hand, or you break a couple of fingers on your right hand and you're right-handed, and you can't
be on duty.
You can't be on duty.
No.
I mean, so there's a lot of things that enter in. And when you get in a fight with somebody, you know, if they're really struggling and fighting with you and struggling, then you're probably going to get hurt.
Right.
You know, to a degree. So, you know, and if you've got 100 guys and you got 6 guys or 7 guys down, you know, it's
impactful.
It's impactful. Yeah. So, you know, and we'll get into that. We're going to have a whole show on that. We'll talk about some things. And I want to talk to that about with Chris, but. We've got about 3 minutes left, and I think that what we need to do is really start narrowing down what we want as a county. And I think the three things we talked about today are the ones.
No, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
And of course, we can take another step that we don't have time for today, but the schools. That's a whole other issue in the school system. And the legislative body that's creating a situation to where it's making it more difficult for our kids to get the proper teaching they should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll leave you with this on the schools, and that is that what's wrong with this sentence? Government-controlled school.
Every single word.
What's wrong with this sentence? State-controlled school.
Every single word.
What's wrong with this? State-controlled curriculum.
Every single word. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, when California used to be leading in all those statistics with the schools and with the highways used to be number one, right? People used to love to come to California to drive on the highways. Not so much anymore. We are a third world country in our education because we're at the bottom of 50 in the union as far as having educational success, but we spend the most out of 50.
Yeah, by 24, 25 billion, I think.
Yeah, so something's back afterwards.
That's a B,
there.
Billion.
It's way back afterwards on there, so we need to get that fixed.
It really is. Well, folks, we're coming near the end of our time here, and we hope you all have a fantastic Sunday. Shelley, thank you for coming in today.
Yes, taking up the brutality of
good. And when?
Yes.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Hey, CA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill, we had no say. You don't serve us, you serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.